Matthew, we've been in Matthew's gospel through this whole series on the seven priorities of Jesus. And so let's go all the way back to the beginning of Matthew and kind of get a running start. There's a nice big overview that we're kind of looking at today on today's subject of the neighborhood. Back in Matthew chapter 1 and 2, we see the beginning. We see the genealogy of Jesus, and then we see into Jesus's. Okay, I didn't know what, so that's awesome, that's fine. Everybody was looking up there, so I thought, oh no, is there a funny picture up there? So no, you're seeing all the different subjects, seeing how far down we are. We are the neighborhood, so we've got two more, and that poor guy. I love that icon, but he looks pitiful, doesn't he? In the neighborhood, so we're in Matthew chapter 1 and 2, we've got the genealogy of Jesus, and then the birth stories are stories that are centered around his birth. And then in chapter 3, we have the story of John the Baptist heralding Jesus in, proclaiming, hey, Jesus is on his way, he's going to be pretty super awesome. And then Jesus shows up on the scene and John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. Then at the beginning of chapter 4, Jesus is led out into the desert to face off with Satan. He fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, and then he's tempted by Satan. He is successful and victorious in the temptations, and then the angels come and tend to him. And then the middle of chapter 4, he calls his disciples, and this is kind of where we're going to pick up from today and kind of look at the next, from 4 to chapter 10, and some of the things going on there. And we're going to see Jesus's intended plan for outreach. Now, so far in the series, as we see up there, we've talked about evangelism. Evangelism being one of the seven priorities of Jesus. That evangelism is sharing the gospel message with the intent or the desire to lead someone to make a decision to follow Jesus, to give their life to Christ. That's evangelism. We looked at discipleship and how discipleship, very simply understood, is helping walk someone through that growing process, not just the evangelism process of getting to know Jesus, but continuing the walk with them, to help them to grow, to help them to mature, to be there, to work together, to grow in groups that way. So both of these priorities, when we look at these, evangelism and discipleship, both of them start with outreach. They start with reaching out, outreach. And we see Jesus' plan for outreach laid out here in chapters 4 through 10 as we get kind of a bird's eye view of what's going on here. Let's go and write this down. We're gonna look at this outline, then we're going to dig a little bit into the outline. But let's just take a moment and step back and look at the outline. Jesus modeled his intended strategy of outreach. So let's go and write that down. Jesus modeled his intended strategy of outreach. Halfway through chapter 4, in verse 18, we see Jesus calling the first disciples. And you guys will see this in your bulletin. You've got the little numbers in parentheses there. So you've got 4, 18, and 19, and you've got chapters 5 through 7, 8 through 9, and then chapter 10, if you guys can see the... See what I'm talking about, the little numbers out to the side? Okay, I didn't put them up there, but they are in your bulletins. So in verse 18 of chapter 4, Jesus called the disciples. And then from there, we see Jesus model the example of what it looks like to outreach. And he modeled through words and actions. Let's go and write that down. He modeled the example through words and actions. So he called the disciples, then he modeled the example through words and actions. In Matthew chapters 5 through 7, we see a collection of Jesus' teachings that's often called the Sermon on the Mount. And this is a collection of teachings that were probably taught in many different times and many different places as Jesus traveled and saw a lot of different people and went to many different areas. But this is one section where Matthew grabs this and says, here's one of these times when Jesus was out among the people and he sat down and he shared with them the Sermon on the Mount, or kind of the Sermon on the hillside. So it wasn't quite the, you know, it's more like a little hill, but, you know, technicalities. And so in Matthew 5 through 7, he shows us how Jesus exemplified the teaching of what the words are that we share with, that we outreach with. Let me kind of run through the Sermon on the Mount here. And at the beginning, it talks about the attitude of the kingdom citizens. And then it goes into the purpose of the kingdom workers, that you are the salt, you are the light of the world. Here's the kingdom view of the Old Testament teachings, of the old law. Here's, you know, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said. And then he quotes part of the old law. And then he proceeds to expose the heart and the intent behind the law. Kingdom citizens will not just obey the law, they'll understand the law. They'll understand the heart and the intent behind the law. There's understanding involved in that. A worshiper in the kingdom that, here's how a worshiper in their kingdom gives to the needy. Here's how a worshiper in the kingdom prays. This then is how you should pray. And we're all familiar with that passage, or a lot of us are familiar with that passage. Here's how a worshiper in the kingdom fasts. And he talks about how a kingdom citizen doesn't store up their treasures here on earth, but rather in heaven. And since we're storing our treasures in heaven, we shouldn't worry about things. Because our Father is God, and he loves us, and he cares for us, and he's going to take care of us. He reminds us that kingdom citizens should be careful with their judgment of others, that we should be able to use good judgment. That's a quality of a kingdom citizen. We should be able to know right from wrong. We should be driven by God's morals and his principles and his values, but we're to do so with humility. We're to share judgment without being judgmental, to share God's morals and principles and values without looking down our nose at others. A kingdom citizen will watch their walk carefully. They will be true. And they will be able to recognize who is true and who is false. A kingdom citizen will listen to Jesus' teachings and live their life by them. And they'll be like a man who builds his house on a rock instead of a man who builds his house on what? Sand. That's the gist of Matthew 5 through 7. And all the things in there that Jesus is sharing, here's the understanding that you have now of the kingdom. And Jesus is modeling that. Here are the words that I'm sharing with you because this is my understanding of the kingdom. And since Jesus shared it with us, now it's whose understanding of the kingdom? Ours, yes. So we have an understanding of the kingdom. Then in chapters 8 and 9, he goes into an example of the physical side of things, of the actions involved. And it's just amazing. I need to stay close to my notes that just to hit all the different things that happen there. Because there's a ton. If you have your Bibles open, you can look down through chapters 8 and chapters 9. Jesus heals a man with leprosy, and this is showing his willingness. The guy said, if you're willing, make me clean. Jesus said, I'm willing. You are clean. His willingness to make people whole and pure, clean. He heals a centurion's servant, showing his authority because he didn't even need to be present for that miracle, but it also shows that Jesus was showing no favoritism. This is a centurion who was employed by the Roman government, the government that was oppressing God's people. And yet Jesus compliments his faith. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus even loved the in-laws. That's love. Jesus calms the storm, a lesson on faith and trust in scary and threatening times. Jesus frees two demonic possessed men. He forgives the paralytic. Then he heals the paralytic, showing his authority over sin, but also showing his ability to care for people. Jesus cures a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, and then he raises the daughter of a synagogue leader. He heals two blind men. He heals a man who is mute due to demonic possession. And all these actions, they're just compounded. So getting a bird's eye view of Matthew 5 through 7, you see all the teaching there. Then getting a bird's eye view of 8 through 9, you see all of the actions here. And then there's little bits and pieces of some teaching in through that. But you just see action after action after action after action. So we see Jesus exemplifying, here's what outreach looks like. Here's my intended purpose of outreach, is to go and share in word and to share in deed, to share your actions. And then what he does in chapter 10, after this example, he turns to his disciples and he sends them out. He sent the disciples out. So they write that down to finish up this little trio here. He sent the disciples out to repeat his pattern. So he calls the disciples in chapter 4. And then we see these chapters 5 through 7 and 8 through 9. Jesus exemplifying for them. Here's what my intended desire for outreach is. Go to the neighborhoods. You teach and you love with action. And then we see him, and we're going to see a little comparison here in a minute of something really cool, how Matthew very purposefully wants us to see that this is a bookend, that there are bookends on this, on each side of this. And then he sends out the 12, and he says, now you go. you do what you've seen me do. You've seen me teach. You've heard me teach. I've shared my understanding with you. Now my understanding is your understanding. Now share that understanding with others. You've seen how I love on people, how I care for people, how I reach out for people, how I care for women, how I, oh, we all right? Oh, I need batteries. I'm going to die. So I feel like those air things where they... Yes. That's awesome. And welcome back. Goodness, the actions repeat the pattern. So he calls the disciples and he models for them. Here are the words to share. Here's your understanding now because I'm passing my understanding on to you. Here's the actions. Here's how you love on people. Here's how you care for people. And he says, now you go and do it. And this is the super simple form of understanding mentorship. I do, you see. You do, I see. So there's a supervision side of things. Then you do. Okay, so Jesus, I do, you see. Here's what I'm teaching. You see it. Here's what I'm doing. Here's how I'm loving on people. You see it. And then Jesus says, now you go, and then you come back and report to me. So that's the you do, I see. So there's some supervision involved in that. And then we see the, Kurt's up there. I'll have to not look at Kurt some days. And then the you do part of that is in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes down and then the church just starts going crazy. And so we're in the, when we turn into chapter 10, we go from the I do, you see to you do, I see. And so the basic mentorship model there. So Jesus shows them the example through words and actions. And then we read this quick synopsis right before chapter 10. And it's a transition from the model exemplified to the model exercised. And this is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. This is right as we transition into I do you see to you do I see. Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. So a little synopsis of what we've just seen over the past few chapters. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And then when you turn the page, chapter 10, Jesus says, guess what? You're the workers. Go out. Let's go back up to verse 35 there. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages. Jesus went to all the towns and villages. Let's write this down. This is a very, very important part. Jesus went out to the people. He went out to where the people were. He went to the towns and the villages. He went to where the people were. He went to their neighborhoods. The Sermon on the Mount, as I said, it was not the only time that Jesus did that. Matthew wanted to capture a big group of his teachings there, and here's one place where he did this. And there are other places in the gospel where Jesus did the same type of thing, and there are plenty of other places or other times that Jesus would have taught that aren't recorded. I mean, John says, if I recorded everything Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough pages in a book. There wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain everything that I saw Jesus do. And so, as Matthew shares this, this is not the only time this happened. Jesus went out among the people, and he taught. He went out among the people, and he shared with them. He started this pattern for us to see. He exemplified this pattern, and then in chapter 10, he says, you go to the 12 disciples. you go and you continue this pattern. Now, we'll take a look at these bookends that I mentioned a few moments ago because this is really cool. So we've got the beginning, the opening chapters of Matthew, 1 and 2, the birth, and then 3, the baptism, and then 4, into the desert, and then 4, he calls his disciples. Okay, after he calls his disciples, we see this synopsis of what Jesus was doing in chapter 4, and it's the same synopsis that we see in chapter 9. So Matthew wants us to see, okay, here's what Jesus was doing. Let me show you some details of the teaching, of the words. Let me show you some details of the actions. Now let me remind you, this is what Jesus was doing. Look at this. This is really neat. Chapter 4, verse 23, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And then the one we just read in chapter 9, when he makes a transition from I do, you see, to you do, I see, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, verbatim, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, exactly the same, and healing every sickness or every disease and sickness. Matthew wanted us to see that this, he was bookending this, and we need to look at this as one group and say, okay, how does all this fit together? And this transitions then into chapter 10, where the disciples are asked to go out. We see Jesus exemplifying what outreach looks like. You go out. We're reminded this pattern. Go out. And then he tells his disciples, you go out. You go among the villages and among the towns. And you do what I did. You teach. And you proclaim the good news of the gospel. And you heal people. You touch people. You make a difference in people's lives. And then, I'm not there yet. That was Jesus' model, to go out. He went to where the people were. He went into their neighborhoods. Jesus didn't invite people to a gathering. He went into their neighborhoods. He went to their towns and villages. It even says, when he taught in the synagogues, it's very specific. If you look in those verses we just looked at, it says there. He went in their synagogues. He went to where they were being taught, and he taught them there. Jesus didn't build a church and say, everyone come to me. Everyone come, and we're going to gather here, and he posted the times up on the internet, and, you know, it's not what he did. He went out. He didn't create a place to gather and invite people into it. He went out to where the people were. He went out to their neighborhoods. He didn't set up shop and invite them in. He went out. You know, oftentimes we feel that inviting someone to church is outreach. And that doesn't seem to fit with Jesus' pattern. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what he exemplified as outreach. Now, is inviting someone to church a bad thing? Absolutely not. It's a great thing. It's great, but we need to call it what it is. It's not outreach. It's not outreach. Not the way Jesus exemplified it. This is a worship service, and that's what it is. And it serves its purpose. For the worshipers to come together, we gather together, we worship God. We share our feelings to God, our gratefulness to God, our love and adoration for God. We do it through song, as we've done. We do it through sharing in communion all together. We do it through giving our offering and through bringing our tithes into God. And we do that together, and that's what this service is for. It's for corporate worship to come together. It's not outreach. It has a purpose, and its purpose is great, but its purpose is not outreach. And so inviting someone to church and saying, well, I've done my part. I got them in church. Now it's up to, you know, the Sunday school teachers, or up to the elders, or up to the ministers. It's up to Dawn or you know, whatever. That's not outreach. You invited them to a worship service, and that's great, but the worship service is really for us to be able to express ourselves to God together as a family. And then it's also for us to be challenged by God's word, to be equipped for works of service, And that equipping comes from hearing God's word and through putting it into practice. And another reason why we gather together according to scripture is that we are to encourage one another, to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's what this is for. That's what this gathering is for. But this is an outreach. Somewhere we've gotten that confused that you know, and three of the subjects we've talked about in the seven priorities of Jesus, and we can see why maybe the church is having a difficult time in America, because we look at evangelism, we look at discipleship, we look at outreach, and we think all three of those, the answer is invite them to church. Invite them to church. I just evangelized someone. If they came to church and they were baptized, then I evangelized them. Well, they're not going to get baptized just because they came to church. Someone made a difference in their life. Someone shared the gospel with them and did something there. Whether it was you or whether it was someone here or whatever, someone they came into contact, build a relationship, whatever. But that's not going to just happen because they came to the church building and they sat through a few services. Discipleship. Discipleship, it doesn't happen in large group formats. We can't say that I'm making disciples and I'm fulfilling the Great Commission because I'm inviting people to church. And outreach, the very word outreach, it goes against inreach. You know, it's not invite them in, it's reach out. It's go out. And I think that's going to be a little bit of a hurdle for any one of us who have been used to this culture that we've developed in our churches, that inviting someone to church, that's the end all and be all of outreach and evangelism and discipleship. Just get them in a church. We have to reverse our thinking. We have to look at what Jesus did and say, well, what did Jesus do? Jesus didn't go out and invite them to the synagogues and then taught them. And what did he do? He went out, and wherever he was, if it was on a mount or if it was on a hill, he taught them. He went out among the people. He went into their villages. Matthew wanted us to see this. He said, here, Jesus called the disciples. Here's what he did. He went out throughout all of Galilee, and he went into all these different places, and these are the things he did. He taught, and he proclaimed, and he healed. And then here's some examples of his teaching. Here's some examples of the things that he did. And let me remind you, this is what he did. He went into their towns. He went into their neighborhoods. He went to where the people were, and he taught, and he proclaimed, and he healed. Now you go and do it to the 12. I don't know if I'm there yet or not. I am, good. I wanted to go here a few minutes ago, and I had to pause myself because I had to get in that little note there. And then Matthew lets us know at the very end of his gospel that this wasn't just something that Jesus subtly wanted to exemplify and hoped that we would pick up on it. Jesus' last words in the Gospel of Matthew, the very famous, the Great Commission, Jesus says, therefore go into all the world and make disciples. Go into all nations, baptizing them. Therefore go, let me actually read it from here. I was paraphrasing. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So Matthew lets us know that this wasn't just some, you know, light desire of Jesus or something, you know, hey, here's the example, kind of, you know, do what you can with it. No, here's what Jesus did. Here's the example. Let me remind you what Jesus did. He sent the 12 out, and then we fast forward to the very end of the gospel, and he says, this is his command to us. These are his last words that Matthew records of Jesus. You go. Therefore, go. Even at that point, Jesus isn't saying, make a church and ask them to come. He says, you go. You go into all nations, go into all the world. That's big go. That's a lot of going. And you do what? You make disciples. And how do you make disciples? You baptize them, which is evangelism. And you teach them to obey everything, which is a big part of discipleship. You bring them to a knowledge of Jesus where they want Jesus and they want to give their life to him, and then you walk with them through that. You stick with them and you help them to grow. And then guess what? Then they come to church because they want to be part of the gathering, because they want to be part of God's people worshiping and sharing together, because now they've got something in common. Now, does evangelism, discipleship, outreach, does it happen in church? It does. Because when people come in and they see God's people worshiping, they see something. There's a witness to that. When they hear God's word, it is impossible to hide God from his word when his word goes out to people's hearts. God is going to be revealed. He's going to be exposed when his word is shared. So yes, there are elements of those things that will happen when people come in. So it's not a bad thing. But we need to understand that's not what Jesus modeled as far as the top way. That's not the model for outreach or the model for discipleship or the model for evangelism. The model is you go. Jesus did it. We're reminded that Jesus did it. Jesus told the 12 to do it. And then Jesus tells us, therefore go. Go into all the world, go into all nations. Let's go back to chapter 9 and take a look at this passage here. It says, Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease. Jesus went to their synagogues, teaching. He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom, and he healed every sickness and disease that he came into contact with. We can follow this example. We can follow this. Just go to the people around you. Just go. Go to your social groups. Go to your actual neighbors. This is something where when I was working on this and this message was on my mind for the past couple of weeks, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm not good at this part. I don't go to my neighbors. When I go home, I just kind of want to, you know, I've been dealing with people stuff, and that's not right. I've got people around me, souls. I've got brand new neighbors across the street. And in fact, we've had brand new neighbors on each side of us, which I kind of missed some opportunities there when they first move in. It's a great opportunity to be able to share with them and get to know them. And I've started that with the neighbor across the street, so I'm on the way there of understanding and being convicted of that going into the towns. You've got your own little town. You've got your own little village where you live. When Jesus healed the Gerasene demoniac, if you guys remember that story, Legion. Remember the story of the pigs? Yeah, okay. So, and he begged Jesus, let me come with you. And Jesus said, no. Which seems kind of odd. No, don't follow me. What are you telling him to do? What? Yeah, go, but a specific go. Go back to your town. Go back to the people you know. Go back to the people you rub shoulders with. Go back to the people and share with them what God did for you. Which is pretty potent. So we go to our social groups, your friends. You go to your physical neighbors, the people who live around you. You go to your coworkers or your schoolmates, people you go to school with or people you work with. And you just do what Jesus exemplified. What did Jesus do when he went? He went into the towns, he taught, he proclaimed, and he healed. Let me bridge this for you. Let's take some notes on this as we finish up here. Jesus reached people. He reached people through teaching. And teaching, if you just simplify teaching, it's speaking from his understanding. Jesus shared his understanding. That's what teaching is. Jesus said, here's my understanding of the kingdom. Here's my understanding of what kingdom people look like. Here's my understanding of what happens when you stay on the right path. Here's my understanding of what happens when you veer off the path. All that, I mean, just right there in so many other places in the Gospels, but right there in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That little quick synopsis I just gave you a few minutes ago, Jesus shares all these things. And his teaching, really, it's just sharing his understanding. Well, we can do that, can't we? And then it's not teachy. You know, teaching doesn't mean we pull out a big dry erase board and you have to draw amazing stick figures like I do. Teaching doesn't mean that you pull out, you know, a notebook and pencils and paper. And sometimes it can involve some Bible study. It can go there. But it doesn't always have to be that to be teaching. Teaching's a bigger umbrella. You teach. You just share your understanding. We've gotten an understanding from Jesus. We've gotten an understanding from his word. If you're in a small group, a Sunday school, you've got some Bible study going on there. You're coming to church. You're going to get some Bible teaching here. You're in personal Bible study yourself. You're going to connect with God, and you're going to have some understanding from that. You've got multiple venues here. And that's if you're not listening to, you know, some of the podcasts. There's some great preachers out there that and great podcasts are available. Aren't necessarily preachers, but just great lessons and great Christian teachings that you can learn to connect you to God's word to give you more in your arsenal. And you just have that all stored up. And you keep it together and you got it so that when conversations come up, when you're in your social group, when you've gone out into the villages, when you're with your neighbor, when you're with someone, a coworker, or someone at your school, and a subject comes up, and you just simply share your understanding of what you've learned, the wisdom that you've gained from God and from his word, and that's teaching. That's doing what Jesus exemplified. That's going out. That's outreach. We can do that. That's pretty simple. And it's not as intimidating as it might feel. When Jesus says, go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them, a lot of us get this understanding, oh gosh, I got to teach. I can't teach. No, you can. You teach a lot, actually. You teach through words. You teach through actions, but you teach through words. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is a go-to passage for me when I talk about parenting and teaching your kids about God's ways. And in Deuteronomy 6, after the Jews had received the law, God's law, he says, I want you to pass this on to generations to come. I want you to pass this on to your children. And he says, this is how you're to pass it on to your children. Now, follow me on this. I just kind of took a quick turn, but I'll bring you back in a moment. He says, these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Okay, let's kind of take that in a moment. They're to be on your hearts. So you take them in and you store them in your heart. Okay? Impress them on your children. How? How do we do this? Very simple. God tells them, your parents, but your teachers. Talk about them when you sit at home. And when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. I love the simplicity of that. For parents, it's saying, parents, here's how you show your kid God's ways. You just talk about it. You talk about it when you're in the morning. You talk about it when you go to bed. You talk about it when you're walking along the road. You talk about it whenever the subject comes up, whenever you've got an opportunity to share your understanding of God's word, of God's commands, of God's desires, of what God wants for us, of how God sees us, you just share that. You share that understanding, and that's teaching. Now, we take this outside of the parental realm, and we look at it here, it's the same principle. The same principle works when we go out into the villages for outreach, when we go out into our social groups, out into our neighborhoods, out into our workforce or our school. And you just share. You just talk about it when it comes up. You don't force it. You don't make the conversation go that way. You just talk. You just share with people. And the subject will come up. I mean, if it's in your heart, because that was the beginning part of Deuteronomy 6. Take these things that you've learned and store it in your heart. And as we take in God's word and we store it in our heart, when subjects come up and we're talking with different people, it's going to be the first thing that you think about. Someone's talking about this subject, or they're talking about that subject. This subject comes up, and you say, you know what? I just read the other day in God's word about that subject. Let me share with you what I heard, what I read, and the wisdom behind this. It's really good stuff. That's easy, isn't it? It's not just easy for me. It's easy for everybody. It's just storing God's word in your heart so it's readily accessible when you're among the people. Now, if you don't go, if you're not among the people, none of this is ever going to happen. So that's the big part. That's why Jesus was very expressive. Therefore, go. Go. So we've got that first part there. Let's go back to Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues. That's number one. Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. That's number the second one here. So, and then healing every disease and sickness. We'll get to that. Jesus reached the people through teaching. He also reached the people through proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Jesus reached people through witnessing. Let's write this down, witnessing. Witnessing is sharing your experiences of God. Jesus reached people through witnessing, sharing from his experiences. So as we take that and we apply it to our own lives, what we're doing when we witness, we're just sharing our experiences that we've had with God with other people. It's what Jesus did with us. That was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Jesus came from the kingdom. He brought the kingdom with him. Here's what heaven looks like. Here's the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Here's what kingdom citizens look like. And Jesus is saying, here's my experience. And I'm a witness of what the kingdom is. And I'm passing that on to you. And so really our idea of witnessing is just sharing what God has done with us, what our experience is with God, what we've experienced from him. And that's very easy to share. It's very easy for Jesus to come down and share about the kingdom because he saw the kingdom. He created the kingdom. He was the author of the kingdom. He's the head of the kingdom. It was his full immersion into the experience. And so for him to share about that, he just witnessed. Here's my experience. Let me share it with you. And we can do the same exact thing. You go into the towns, you go into the villages, you go into your groups, and you just share. You just share. And when those opportunities come up, oh, I had this experience, you know, years ago when I was going through this or whatever, and here's what God did. It's not a forced thing. It's just, you're just talking. You know, when you're talking with someone and they start sharing with you a story about their child, or they start sharing with you a story about maybe an event that happened in their life, or they start sharing about, you know, something about their parent, or something about that happened at work if you're talking to a neighbor, or if you're work, maybe you're sharing something that happened with a neighbor or whatever. When they're sharing just life experiences, there are some people that you go, oh man, another one of these stories. But on the general take of things, if they're just sharing and you're sharing back and forth, it's just common conversation. It's just talking with each other. You've got a life with God. You've got a relationship with God. Your experiences are going to involve him. And so when you're sharing, just share your experiences. Let that come out. That's witnessing. That's outreach. All right, let's go on back. I'll skip that. And the very last thing there, well, I won't read the whole scripture again. We'll just go right at the very end of the scripture. Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. So that's number three. So he taught, he proclaimed, and he healed. And so as we go out among the villages, we're to go out and we're to heal. I can't do that. I don't know. If you can, I need to see you after. You'll save me a trip to the doctor tomorrow. I would appreciate that. I could open a bottle of water with my correct hand. But no, what he did was he shared his abilities. He served people with his abilities. Jesus reached out to people through serving. That's caring with his abilities. Jesus had the ability to heal the sick. He had the ability to cure diseases. So he took that ability and he served others. He cared for them by serving them with his ability. We can do the same thing. We might not be able to heal people, but we certainly have abilities that we have that we can serve other people with. We can serve them by caring for them and using the abilities we have. But you're not going to know what they need. You're not going to know the places where you can serve if you're not out. You got to get out. That's outreach. You're not going to learn those things simply by bringing them to church and inviting them to the church. You're going to learn about those things by getting involved in their life, by going out into the towns and villages, by mixing with them. Jesus wouldn't have known about the woman that had been bleeding for 12 years if she hadn't have touched him and reached out to him. She wouldn't have touched him and reached out to him if he wouldn't have been walking by where she was. Jesus encountered all these different stories that you read in Matthew 8 and 9 and all throughout the Gospels, but specifically today as we're talking about Matthew 8 and 9, He encountered all these different people because he was going from place to place. He was going and getting among the people. And when we get among the people and you get to know what they need and what they're in need of, you get to know your neighbor, and you find out, well, there's something I can help them with. I have the ability to help them, so I should serve. And that's outreach. And that's something every one of us can do, correct? Yes? We can all share our understanding, can't we? We should have some understanding. If you're a Christian, goodness, you should have some understanding of God's desires, of what God wants, of Jesus' teachings. You should have more than some. And if not, you just need to crank it up a little bit and really take that seriously. We should have some understanding. As Christians, when we're going out among the people, we should have experiences with God, shouldn't we? If we're walking with him, if the Holy Spirit is indwelling inside of us, living inside of us, we should have experience after experience after experience of God. And then you build this whole portfolio of experiences. Or if less professional, we build this whole scrapbook of experiences, speaking to the ladies. Or, well, I guess guys do that some, but not me. No. I hold boards for people to break. But we have this, and you just keep adding to it, and you keep building to it. And when an experience fits a conversation, you just pull it out and you share it. We can do that. We can outreach. We can take our abilities and we can show people that we care about them and that we love them and that they are important, not only to us, but they're important to God. And we can do that simply by using our abilities to serve them. We can do that. That's outreach. That's going to the neighborhood. One of Jesus' seven priorities that he had for his church. And he tells the disciples, as he makes this transition from, here's my example, here's the model exemplified, now here's the model exercised, right before he goes into that, right after this section that we just read, verse 37, he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Church, outreach should matter to us. It should matter to us because it mattered to Jesus. We don't have to be concerned with church growth. I like to see that we have more people here on a Sunday morning. That's encouraging to me. I'm just being honest. That's a measurable thing. Listen, church growth, it will happen if the church is outreaching. If the church is going to the neighborhoods, then church growth, it'll just be a byproduct of that. That'll happen. But what won't happen is church growth won't happen if the church isn't going out and outreaching. If the church isn't going out among the people and letting them know that they're there and they care. Outreach mattered to Jesus. People out there, go to them. People are out there. Send workers into the fields. People are out there. Reap the harvest. Outreach. Go into the neighborhoods. Pray with me.